The 11th chapter of Hebrews is often called the Westminster Abbey of Faith. I have visited Westminster Abbey in London on several occasions, and I've concluded that Hebrews 11 and Westminster Abbey have very little in common. I think I know why people use that comparison. In the Westminster Abbey, you have the great heroes, literary, military, and so forth, of the British Empire. And in Hebrews 11, we have the great heroes of faith. But there are some differences. The people in Westminster Abbey were famous because of their genius. The people listed in Hebrews 11 were famous because of the God that they trusted. They were ordinary, everyday, garden variety kind of people who did amazing things simply because they trusted God. I don't want you to read Hebrews 11 and get the idea that these people were different from you. They perhaps had a higher IQ or a greater opportunity for service than you do. No. The distinguishing mark of the people in Hebrews 11 is their faith in God. Something else is true. The people in Westminster Abbey were accepted and lauded and honored by the nation. The people in Hebrews 11 were rejected, criticized, even killed. The world was not worthy of these people whose names are given in Hebrews 11, and those who are not named, and yet we have them before us in the Word of God, rejected, despised, laughed at, and yet the great heroes of the faith. The thing that distinguishes the people in Hebrews 11 is what God did in and through them in response to their faith in the Lord. The same kind of faith that you and I can exercise today. We're going to be spending this week and the next 4 weeks in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to find out what it really means to serve God and walk with God by faith. All of us know the importance of faith. The only way to be saved is by faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. The only way to serve God is by faith. The only way to please God is by faith. Hebrews 11, 6 informs us that without faith it is impossible to please Him. Before we meet these people in Hebrews 11 and start getting acquainted with their lives and their service by faith, I think we must first get acquainted with the setting of Hebrews 11 in the book of Hebrews. Let's look at Hebrews 11 now and consider the setting in the book of Hebrews, then the teaching of this chapter, and finally the applying of it to our own lives. First of all, the setting in Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is one of three books in the New Testament written to explain one verse from the Old Testament. That verse is Habakkuk 2:4. Behold, his soul that is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews quote that verse. You'll find it in Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. The book of Romans focuses on the first two words of Habakkuk 2:4, the just. Romans explains who the just are, how they became just through faith in Christ, and how they're supposed to live. Galatians focuses on shall live. And in the book of Galatians, we're told how those who are justified by faith live. We live by faith in the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. The emphasis in Hebrews is on the phrase, by faith. Hebrews is the great book of faith in the New Testament. The book of Hebrews was written to a group of Hebrew Christians who were having a difficult time. In chapter 10 of Hebrews, beginning at verse 32, we find out that they were afflicted. Ye endured a great fight of afflictions, according to verse 32. Verse 33, they were made a gazing stock. They were publicly exposed by reproaches and afflictions. And they also identified themselves with those who were going through persecution. They were going through a difficult time in their own personal lives at a difficult period in history. Now, why was this period in history so difficult? Well, for the simple reason that the ages were changing. Our Lord Jesus Christ had come, He had died, been raised from the dead, He had gone back to heaven, and now God was bringing about a brand new thing on the earth. The old Hebrew economy was moving off the stage, and the church and the kingdom of God were moving on the stage. It was a time when everything was shaking. For example, we read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25, "See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven." And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. God was shaking everything in society to knock down the scaffolding. And this was a difficult time for these people. They needed patience. Chapter 10, verse 36, "For ye have need of patience." That means endurance, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. They had need of perseverance. There was the danger of doing what the Jewish people had done in past history, going back. You remember how that Israel, in the marching to the promised land, always wanted to go back, always wanted to go back. Let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back to Egypt instead of going on to their inheritance. The theme of Hebrews is given to us in chapter 6. Let us go on to maturity. Let's not go back to the old life. Let's not go back to the old ways. Let's go on to maturity. Let's not miss God's best for our lives. Now, in the book of Hebrews, the writer does a beautiful thing in encouraging these readers to keep on going. It's always too soon to quit. That's what Dr. V. Raymond Edmond, former president of Wheaton College, used to say over and over again. It's always too soon to quit. You're thinking right now of giving up. The times are tough. Your situation is difficult. You're getting impatient. You're wondering what's going on. It's hard to live by faith. And I would say to you from the book of Hebrews, just keep going on. You have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Don't draw back into the old life. You'll miss God's best for your life. Just keep on going by faith. You say, well, how do I do that? It's rough. Yes, it is. Much easier to walk by sight than by faith. But you see, when you walk by sight, you miss God's best for your life. God has ordained that we walk by faith and not by sight. In the book of Hebrews, the writer encourages us to live by faith. He begins by showing us the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He starts off by saying, God has spoken, and he has spoken to us in his Son. His Son is better than the prophets. His Son is better than the angels. His Son is better than the great prophet Moses. His Son is better than Aaron. Here we have Jesus Christ in all of his greatness. Now, you have put your faith in him. You've trusted him. Therefore, lean upon him day by day. His word can be trusted. He's greater than the prophets. He can do for you what no one else can do. Moses led the people out of Egypt. Aaron watched over the people as their priest. But you have a king priest up in heaven, the Lord Jesus, who's caring for you and perfecting you. And so in this letter, he points out the superiority, the greatness of Jesus Christ. And he says to us, how can you not trust him when he is so great? Then he brings in the nation of Israel. He points out that Israel did go back. They wanted to go back to Egypt. And they even appointed officers to take them back. And God stopped them and said, oh, no, not back to Egypt. If you don't want to go into Canaan, that's one thing. But if you want to go back to Egypt, you can't do that. And that whole generation died in the wilderness because of unbelief. Unbelief is not quite the same as doubt. Doubt is a problem in my mind. I can't understand what God's doing. Unbelief is a problem of the will. I say, I will not believe no matter what God says. So there's the positive teaching of the greatness of Christ to encourage us to trust Him. There's the negative example of Israel who wanted to go back to Egypt, the warning that if we turn back and start in unbelief, God will have to chasten us. He also points out in this wonderful book that right now up in heaven we have a superior priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's greater in every way than Aaron. Greater in his covenant, greater in his ministry, greater in his sacrifice. Now there's no reason why we cannot trust this wonderful heavenly high priest. This brings us now to chapter 10 of Hebrews, where he sort of summarizes all of this. Verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. No Old Testament Jew could do that. By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. So we have an open way into heaven. That should keep us going. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us, number one, draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Verse 23 of chapter 10, let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. You're worried about being faithful. He's faithful. Your faith is only as good as the object. If you trust his promise, he is faithful. Let's draw near. Let's hold fast. Verse 24, let's consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, this brings us up to chapter 11. Having shown us the greatness of Christ, having shown us the bad experience of Israel in their unbelief, and then having drawn this conclusion that we have this open living way, now he brings in chapter 11 the example of the Old Testament believers. He's saying to us, here are everyday people, ordinary people, who believed God and did great things. I say it once again, don't think that you are handicapped. You say, I'm not an Abraham, or I'm not a Moses, I don't have all of that. Nah, just a minute. When I read Hebrews chapter 11, I find out that we have ordinary, everyday people here whom God used in a wonderful way. Let's look now at the teaching in Hebrews 11. The outline is really quite simple. Verses 1, 2, and 3, we have a description of faith. Not a definition of faith, but a description of faith, how faith works. Then in verses 4 through 40, we have a demonstration of faith. What faith did in the lives of the people. And I want you to notice that there are two kinds of people given in Hebrews 11. In verses 4 through 35, these are people who were delivered by faith. They were delivered from their difficulties. But when you get to verse 36, it says, and others, and that means others of a different kind, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. They were stoned and so forth. You see, there are some who are delivered from difficulty by faith, and there are others who are delivered in difficulty by faith. Please get this. Faith operated just as much in the lives of those who were stoned and rejected and tortured and killed as in the lives of those who were delivered. I hear people say, well, if you have faith, God will deliver you. He may, and then again, he may not. He may honor your faith by giving you a martyr's crown. And so you'll notice in Hebrews 11, we have two kinds of believers. Those who believed and who were delivered from their difficulties. Those who believed and were delivered in their difficulties. Now the key word in Hebrews 11 is the word witness. Verse 2, for by it, by faith, the elders received witness. That is, they obtained a good report. What kind of witness? A witness from God. God witnessed to them because of their faith. This is repeated in verse 4. Abel received a witness. God testified to him that he was righteous. In verse 5, Enoch had this witness. The word testimony means witness, that he pleased God. In verse 39, and these all, having received witness through faith, received not the promise. In other words, when they trusted God, God bore witness to them of their faith. They had that inner confidence from God as well as evidence in the circumstances of their lives. Now this helps us to understand chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You see, God witnessed to these people, and now they witness to us. This doesn't mean spectators. It doesn't mean that the people listed in Hebrews 11 are up in heaven watching us run the race. No, no. It means that they are bearing witness to us that faith works. They are bearing witness to us that we can trust God and He will keep His promises. And of course, they point to Christ. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The climax of Hebrews 11 is really chapter 12, verse 2. All of these men and women point to Jesus Christ. He started us on the Christian life, and He can see us through. And so as we study Hebrews 11, we're going to find that these people witness to us that faith works in all kinds of situations. Faith works at the altar. Faith works when you are martyred. Faith works when you face difficulties that cannot be surmounted. Faith works no matter what the problems may be. Faith works. God will either bring you through, bring you out, or He will put in you the grace that you need to keep on going in spite of difficulties. Which leads me to say this. Do you believe? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? You cannot walk into Hebrews 11 unless you've been born again through faith in Jesus Christ. Do you believe that God can be trusted? Do you believe His Word? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Are you able to study this chapter with us because you really have surrendered to God by faith? I hope that you have. Because as we walk through Hebrews chapter 11, our hearts are going to be encouraged. Our hearts are going to be enlightened and excited at what God can do when we trust Him and we walk by faith.